CliffCentral.com. Hello, everybody. Wow. Pumi looks very professional this morning. I hope you didn't just dress up for us, right? Pums? I can see you. You got the lipstick on. You got this. That looks like a very fancy, expensive outfit that you got on there, too. Yeah.
Okay. It's just got a little bit of red. It's not fancy. It's all black with a little red.
Well, I mean, you didn't dress up like this for us, right? What do you got on today?
Interviews. A full day.
Interviews?
Beefing up my team. They got to, see me. She's the boss.
I just want to try and I want to try and turn you up a bit. You're a bit soft, Pums.
Please do. Sia says I'm soft, and I don't know how much louder I can get.
I don't know what I can do on this side.
I actually got a microphone and I forgot to bring it from the office.
See, now if I turn you up so much, it makes Sia too loud. So
I'll go low.
Sia can.
In the words of Melania Trump.
Sure wants to. I'm sure he wants to just have a sexy voice.
Yeah, I know, Pums, it's very soft. I don't know what the problem is. All right, good morning, everybody. So let's just get on with it, because we've got limited time, as they say. There's a lot to talk about. First things first, we will get to the burning platform a little bit later on, and we'll talk about this in detail, but we've got to talk about Tito's budget, which was all the rage yesterday. It was anything anyone was talking about. We didn't really talk much about Tiger Woods yesterday, but there's all kinds of stuff coming out about that now. And there's stories about, Tiger, and is he ever going to play again? And, was he badly injured or is he fine? And people are saying he's all right. He got out okay. But, I mean, he basically rolled down a hill. Did you see the pictures?
Oh, it's bad. So this is now the official...
Yeah, so the official thing from the family or the foundation.
This is from the doctors who are speaking out, and they're being official when it comes to his injuries.
Yeah.
I don't like when people talk. Just by the way, why do we know this? Why is the doctor talking? But anyway, Dr. Anish Mahajan, that's the chief medical officer at the hospital where Tiger currently is, has said that he suffered open fractures to his right tibia and fibula, which are the bones directly under the knee.
See, that's not good. That's really, for a golfer, you kind of, that swing, if you've been as perfect as Tiger has every step of the way and getting to be the best, and he really is indisputably the best and was for the longest time in golf. It must be very scary,
also,
right?
Also, the bones in his feet, they say. It's epic, y'all.
You know, you got... this is what I hate about not being in the studio for all of us to actually... talk to each other. I even saw it on the TV show last night, and it irritates me. It's like the stop-start stuff of people on video apps. But you've got all these tiny little bones in your feet, and they are, some of them are this long and some of them are that long, and they make up your toes, they make up your actual curve of your foot, everything else. It's just, if you break one of those, even if it heals, it's very difficult. You can't set it like you can an arm. For example, you can't set it, so it has to kind of sort itself out. And if it doesn't, you have that problem for the rest of your life. Or even if it sets, and it sets it badly, because you've got to move on that foot or whatever, it can do some serious damage. It's hard to recover properly 100% from that.
Yeah. Try not to cringe as I explain the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But the medical team further just explained what all of these injuries mean. So basically, the major injury was in his right leg, and then they say he has extensive injuries to his right foot. So then they go on to say that the bones are broken in more than two pieces. And open fractures mean that a bone fragment has pierced the skin. So, to treat these breaks, the doctors had to insert a metal rod into his shin bone.
Oh.
And a Dr. Kirk Campbell has said he's very fortunate to be alive. It's going to take several months to just walk.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I know.
You know, people love him.
Stephen King.
Stephen King, the novelist?
The novelist. I follow him on Twitter. I know.
Yeah.
Stephen King tweeted about how he was in an accident. He got hit by an RV or something crazy like that when he was walking or jogging.
Yeah.
And that it took him 5 years before he was able to walk again. But now he's running and playing tennis. God. And
well, still, you know, Stephen King, with all the love in the world, he was never a pro athlete. And Tiger was a different kind of golfer. He wasn't one of those fat golfers who used to play, you know, once a week.
Oh.
He's the real deal. Anyway, I mean, listen, I think it's a much bigger story than we think, just because it's Tiger Woods and because so many people care about that guy. And, you know, even though I'm not a golf fan, I'm a major fan of seeing brilliant people doing brilliant things. And that's, you can't dispute whether you like Tiger or not. And I don't know how many people don't like him. He's one of those.
How can you not like the Tiger?
Exactly.
How can you not like the Tiger?
No, no, I agree. He's one of those people you've got to like. You've got to admire, right? Anyway.
But I still just don't understand what he was doing driving. And driving alone.
And driving a crap car at that.
No, he's a bit of a shady character, but alas.
That he is, but that doesn't mean that he was doing anything shady at the time. So let's just talk about a couple of things that spill over from yesterday, and I want to hear Pumi's thoughts on these too. So first of all, apparently we got a message from somebody yesterday on the show about WhatsApp messages and how there are these new disappearing functions. I haven't figured out how to do it. And Sia, you say you tried it and you've actually discovered it is there?
Yeah. So I just went and Googled it.
Yeah.
And this is a feature that rolled out late last year. So it's just annoying that I forgot the listener's name, but I want to admit that they were right.
Okay.
And we were just not in the know. So this is a thing.
How does it work? Yes, how do you
they
get
have
it?
To up their game after Telegram.
But how do you do it, Pumik? I mean, if I send you a message now, Sia, hey, Sia, let me just try and do this. And then I send it. What, do I click on the message itself?
The thing is, I think we got a little confused, though, what the listener was talking about and what we were talking about. Disappearing as in you can delete within a 7-day period. So it's just the deleting function. It doesn't mean that you can now cheat and there won't be any trail. Yeah. If there is a backup with your WhatsApp, even if you've deleted these messages, by the way, those messages will still be there in the backup, though.
You see, I was thinking it was like a message that you could make it self-destruct after 10 seconds.
Mm-mm.
Damn, because that would be funny.
There'll always be some sort of a paper trail with this.
Are you also on like a bunch?
I just want to know what kind of things you people are sending that require self-destruct after 10 seconds. Look, what are you sending? What is this?
It could be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of anything that isn't like people cheating on each other and that kind of thing. But it might be, mm-hmm. if you think about all these groups that we're all on, right? And some of them are created especially for an event or for one work thing that we're all doing. And I don't know that they, you know, sometimes I find a group, and sometimes they even come back to life like a couple of months later. You know these groups that you're on and it's for someone's birthday or like
Jenny's birthday party.
Yeah, or someone, you know, like the birth of someone's kid or whatever. And everybody's on there for the weekend that you need to be planning things. And then it goes away, but you forget to leave the group. And then 6 months later, someone posts something on that group and you're like, what? What group is this? Because you've forgotten you were even on it. I mean, I've,
and I'm always the last one to leave as well once people have gone.
Is that because you feel bad? Is that because you feel bad and you think it's rude to leave? Because I used to feel like that. Now I just get out.
No, I never leave a chat.
No, you got to get out of there sometimes. Once the work is done.
The host, although the convener of the group should delete the group.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Save us all the awkwardness.
No, well, not even, not like, not awkwardness.
What's that etiquette?
Yeah, organization. You don't want to clutter your phone with all that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, there'll always be a backup. There'll always be a paper trail. That's the most important thing to note. You can't be a cheater and think you won't be found out.
You know, so the fascinating thing for me is even on social media, I think it's time that everybody accepts the fact that maybe we need to either normalize open relationships, or people must just stop thinking that they're going to be in monogamous relationships. Like, everybody, it's a pandemic. It's the other pandemic. People are always trying to figure out ways to cheat. No, why do you want to live like that? Why do you want to live like that?
See, Inga's talking about this, and I don't think she's necessarily doing anything dodgy. She goes, I clear chats regularly and leave inactive groups, keep things clean. Yeah, I think there's also the archive function. I'm not sure exactly what that does, but it just takes the chats to another folder. Because it's like emails. I hate having a full inbox. I would rather move things once I've dealt with them into a file or delete them. Because otherwise it just hangs around in your inbox, and then you think you've got all these emails that you've got to get back to, and it makes you anxious. So once I've dealt with something, I either delete it or move it to a folder. And Inga, I'm with you. Like, you've got to have some order and you know, discipline in that phone of yours. Otherwise, it gets insane. And you start, like, I love the pin function, because you can pin a chat to the top, so that if you, for example, I've got three that are pinned on my phone at the moment, and they're all three people that I need to get back to. One is to make arrangements. The other one is to send them some details, and so on. So if I can pin those, then I know the next day those are the first three messages that I can go and deal with straight away. That's useful stuff. I wish we could have more functions like that, because that's really handy. And unfortunately, for those of us who've always thought, well, WhatsApp or whatever it is a social thing, and work stuff is email or whatever, it's now all blurred. Now everything has to be work and social stuff and family stuff. It's all on one app, and it's all on WhatsApp, and we can't get off of there. So this disappearing messages thing sounds like bullshit to me, Sia. It doesn't sound like it's helpful at all.
Yeah, so far, nothing really to it that will help.
No.
We're stuck with all of this.
Help what? Okay.
Well, you do kind of just want to get away from some mess sometimes.
Listen, I do think that it is really, really good. Mark Hamill, who plays like Luke Skywalker, I follow him on Instagram, and he said his internet went down for like 3 days, and he said he was the happiest guy in the world. I'm still of the opinion that occasionally it's really good to just detox from the social media stuff. And we've all got to find time in our lives to do that. I think I'm going to set aside like a couple of weeks this year where I'm going to do the same thing. All right. So Ruth says, Pums, yes.
I have been off social media for the past 3 days because I've had such hectic days with full day interviews and all of that stuff. Mm. And I actually feel untethered. I don't know what is going on. So I haven't seen all the commentary around the budget.
Mm.
Also, because you're not on the radio. This is how I get my current affairs. I get my current affairs and commentary through all the platforms that I'm on.
Right.
Like, I don't even know if they still have news on TV. Like, if you can turn on. Right. Also, because like there's no commentary there, but I feel completely untethered. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I could only see part of the reason why I saw the Tiger Woods stuff is I literally can only see stuff. Or in the past 2 days, I've only seen stuff between like 4 and 5 in the morning.
Right.
Everything.
You see, I disagree a little with the notion of a detox, or it sounds like it's disjointed, but go with me with this a little, something like a self-care Sunday. You know, I don't think you should only be working towards one particular time where you feel like you can settle and relax and whatnot. There are things and means and ways in this day and age where you can control a lot of what happens to you in life. So social media to me is not a complete enemy.
Yeah.
You mute people, you block people, you mute phrases to make sure that everything works for you.
Yeah,
and even when it comes to...
I know what you mean. You almost got to dilute the whole thing though, because you can't. You know, the point is, yesterday Damon said that his mother has one of those really cheap, he said, 300 rand cell phones. Now I didn't even know you got those, but I got this message from Aaron, and Aaron said, talking about cheap phones, you get feature phones and smartphones, but you also get a phone they call a smart feature phone. I kid you not, it's one I had. It's preloaded with lifetime WhatsApp and Facebook, so it'll last until the phone breaks. WhatsApp was a bit of a challenge, but it works. And what I found cool is that you can use this phone, this smart feature phone, as a Wi-Fi hotspot and use your smartphone to use internet connections instead of pulling like different SIM cards out. And it's great if you have two different networks, but I actually just bought the phone for calls and found these other features as an add-on. So, you know, Aaron's talking about, I didn't even believe him about any of this stuff, but clearly there it is.
Would you go as far as leaving the life and comfort and goodness of an iPhone to then go to a tiny little feature phone? Exactly. No. So then, you know, yes, you have lifetime WhatsApp, but then sometimes you want to use Truecaller, or you want to use Waze, or... you know, you want to listen to your music, so you don't have all of that?
No, definitely not.
Because you don't want to talk to three people who have your number. Yeah,
I couldn't go backwards now. So a couple of messages here. This one's from Janet. She says there's a delete message function, but you have to manually do that. I have a few contacts with the same name, so if I accidentally send the message to the wrong person, I delete it. Usually inform that person why I've deleted the message, because it's sketchy if you just see someone has deleted a message but they don't explain. I don't know any of the automatic disappearing messages function. Someone sent me a screenshot on 0797482090 this morning of where you get it. So if you go into individual chats, so let's I'll go into the Sia one quickly. Uh-huh. So you go in, you click on the Sia chat, right? And then supposedly it's meant to come up there. It's got, you know, media links and documents, starred messages, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't have it for me. Just above encryption, basically, there's meant to be the option for disappearing messages, and I don't see it.
So, oh, wait a minute. Messages will disappear after 7 days if they're sent to a chat.
See?
Wait.
So I don't have this. I don't think my phone is updated.
You know what? Actually, I will be back tomorrow with another update, or in 7 days' time, right?
Yeah, right.
This is a whole new world, in the words of Aladdin.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens, but I haven't figured this thing out properly yet either. Okay, so Pums, I'm sorry that your microphone is so soft. There are also a lot of messages from people saying they can't hear you properly, and I don't know what's going on this morning. I know, it's very annoying. We're going to try and figure that out in the next while. I've got some headlines we've got to get to, so let's do that right now and straight up front at the beginning of the show. First of all, from News 24 this morning, the Eastern Cape has made a bunch of name changes. Now, we all know what's going on here, and there's no point in getting upset about it, because what are you going to do? Politicians are doing what politicians do, and the Eastern Cape is one of the most badly mismanaged provinces in the country. There is hardly any employment there at the moment. It's poorer than ever In fact, they also did really badly in the matric results compared to other provinces. But, you know, we'll just, nothing to see here. We'll just rename some stuff and then it looks like we're doing things as politicians. So Natim Tetwa gazetted the renaming of Eastern Cape towns and airports. Despite opening submissions, the DA and the ANC government had gone too far, according to some people. Tetwa, in a government gazette on Tuesday, approved the use of the name, a change rather, in the name of Port Elizabeth International Airport. They're changing that to Chief David Stuurman International Airport. Do you know who he was?
No.
I'm afraid I don't either. And okay. East London is...
Then it's a good thing. Because yeah. Then we can all learn who he was.
Well, I just don't know if this guy, Chief David Stuurman, is necessary, you know, so important that we need to force every international visitor who ever comes to PE to have to learn his name. We'll have to find out. I mean, as a history fan, and someone who has actually studied South African history, the fact that I don't know is kind of embarrassing. Uitenhage is going to be changed to Karicha. Port Elizabeth is now Kabera. And King Williamstown is now on.
Ha, ha.
What?
Kubecha.
Oh, because the H is a G. Kubecha. Right. I mean, okay. Look, I'm going to fuck this up every single day. So I think I'm just going to stick with PE. But on Wednesday, the DA said, why must I change? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Just get your head around it. Get your head around it. Instead of deciding up front that I'm going to fuck this up. Start from the, I'm going to try and get this right.
It's like Mahikeng and Mafikeng. I still say Mafikeng. It's not important enough to me. It really isn't. And it's, yeah, I know what they're doing.
If I think we were all on the same page
yeah.
around the motivation or the justification behind it, I think it would be a little different. But it came almost spur of the moment.
And it's, what for? Like, why now? Why suddenly now? We already had PEs changed to the municipal name to Nelson Mandela Bay. Now, why are they changing it again? What's that all about? What's really going on here? This is Natim Tetwa trying to look like he's doing things. And it's ridiculous. And it's not as if they built a new airport like King Shaka. You know, this is the same old fucking horrible airport in PE that we've been using for years that was always called PE Airport. Now we're giving it a new name, but we're not doing anything to improve it. We've got a province which is an absolute derelict place where people are just in desperation. It's one of the most poorly run places in the world. But don't worry, we'll just put up some new signs and that'll make it all better. Drives me insane. It really does. And it's so typical of the government of that province that has just sat on its hands for months and years. And I'm going to rename stuff and we're suddenly going to be impressed with them. Let's just leave it. We may learn these. I've got a tongue twister as well in Xhosa that Leanne's going to teach us tomorrow. But we'll leave it for now. We've got to move on. GameStop has surged again. Has Reddit crashed temporarily. So shares in GameStop, which we know caused unbelievable chaos on the stock exchange in America, surged on Wednesday in what could mark a return to the frenzied trading that rocked markets last month. Trending in the U.S. games firm was halted twice after shares more than doubled on Wednesday afternoon. GameStop stock climbed by 104% until trading was halted for a second time moments before markets closed.
I think we already have the tongue twister there. GameStop stock, GameStop stock.
Yeah. The stock gained nearly 90% in after-hours trading. So there's some stuff going on there. We've also got this from EWN this morning. The Cape Winelands, you know, there are fires there because it gets so dry in the Cape at this time of year. And the fire started in the Overberg a few days ago. It spread into the Cape Winelands area on Tuesday afternoon. And the firefighters are working round the clock to get these fires under control. It's in the valley at the back of Barnhoek and Berg River Dam, which is outside Franschhoek in the Western Cape. Always horrible. And I'm always amazed at how brave and brilliant these helicopter pilots are. You know, like they pick up, they scoop up all this water and they dump it out in the fires. You have to be a pretty amazing pilot in just normally flying a helicopter. So to fly one and be able to put out fires is just incredible. So that's going on at the moment. What else do I have for you? Boko Haram are back in the news. They've they've lost 16 people in an attack, the local militia have said. Boko Haram jihadists attacked Nigeria's city of Maiduguri in the volatile northeast province, killing 16 people. 9 children were killed. They were playing football on a field. I mean, really, you know. This is just appalling and disgusting and tragic. 10 people were killed, and then they upgraded that, and they said, no, it's 16. 47 were injured in Tuesday's attack. Jihadists fired rocket-propelled grenades on the densely populated city. Boko Haram has previously made incursions into the town and the capital of Borno State using heavy guns and suicide bombers. It's terrible.
We should have this conversation with Jean-Jacques about the confluence of forces over there, because I'm not convinced that they are just some rebel militia operating on the fringe of society. I'm sorry. I think that there's much more to the story than we ever get told.
What do you think? I mean, let's go into the world of speculation here. What do you think's going on?
Look, I think that there's too much inaction from the government around this rebel militia that's on the fringe for it to be just that. I think that there's a political play here. And, you know, historically in Nigeria, the north and the south, because of the Christian Islamic tension that they have, they also have a very interesting arrangement with how they run their elections as to who is eligible to vote at alternate times. You know, so if the Christian South have somebody, and then in the next election, it's the Northern and Islamic who have their person, and it's just the crazy. It's a very, very crazy political situation that they have there, and the tension, I think, is beginning to spill over, and maybe that is what we're seeing, and maybe it's, you know, a regime shift is what we're seeing. But I don't think that it's just a group of like rebel militia over there far away doing their own thing.
And, you know, it's
that the government can't bring to heel.
But also you're talking about it like it's a secular thing. And we know that that's the real problem in Nigeria and in so many parts of the world. You know, Northern Ireland, it was a religious thing. It wasn't just a difference over borders or, you know, laws or any of those things. This is deep. It's religious. The same thing in Rwanda and Burundi, which nobody spoke about. The same thing in the Balkans. You know, the difference between a Croat and a Serb is the kind of Christianity that they believe. And the difference here between these jihadists and the people who are being rocketed in innocent civilians who live in these towns is that one group is Muslim and the other group is Christian. So there's a lot to discuss and unpack here. I agree with you, Pumi. Maybe Jean-Jacques is the guy to help us.
And always with these militia, the thing that I'm always so fascinated about is they have the latest weapons. They have the latest.
Yeah, where is that coming from?
Who funds this? Who funds this, and for what reason?
Yeah,
and then on top of that, how do we know so much about them, but they still can't be stopped? They are the people that they're in the news. Do they have a PR department? I'm really not taking the piss out of it. So, you know, how are they in the know and connected, and we know about them? They clearly are not just running their operation from underneath a tree. You know, they are very well equipped.
And money. And that's always the thing. And where there is money, there are many interests that we are not quite aware of. We should have this conversation with Jean-Jacques. I would love to have this conversation.
All right, good. Then we'll do that. We'll set that up. I'm pleased to say that tomorrow Anthea will rejoin us, which will be good. We've got to talk about the budget in the burning platforms. I'm going to leave that for later. But there's one other story in the news that you need to maybe pay attention to. The International Olympic Committee has named Brisbane, Australia, as the preferred bidder to host the 2032 Olympic Games. So how many Olympics is this ahead? Because we were meant to have the Olympics last year, remember? So that would have been the 2020. So then there would have been a 2024. And then there's the 2032. And the 2024 one is meant to be where in Qatar or something, isn't it? Somewhere in the Middle East, or am I?
That's a World Cup.
Oh, it was the World Cup. Sorry, quite right. So, who knows? But now they say that this. I don't know how these countries can even confidently bid at the moment, considering we're in a world where we can't even host events.
Will we even be alive in 2032?
Well, this is it, right? So the IOC have decided that they are going to give this to to Brisbane in Australia.
Maybe we'll move to Mars.
Yeah, we can have the Olympics on Mars. That might be a better idea. Let Elon Musk take us there. All right, so Sharon says...
They're doing with the comrades, because it's the 100th anniversary this year of the comrades. And
tell
because
me.
They can't have everybody congregating, is they're having virtual comrades. So you just have to run the length of the comrades wherever you are. And everybody... That's what they did last year, too. Maybe that's what we should do with the Olympics. People in their own countries should timed races wherever they are.
Yeah, but if
timed races and distances.
If it's not official and it's not serious and there isn't someone timing it and giving out medals, who wants to take part in that? Right?
Well, people took part with the comrades, and it's still official. It's just a different type of official. It's a different type of virtual official.
Yeah.
They'll email you a picture of your medal.
No.
See. No, then where are those embarrassing cars that go and sweep people up that say, give up, just stop? You know, I want that. That's all part of the camaraderie.
You have to see the 5 o'clock dash.
I'm sure I've mentioned this before on the show. Our house in Durban is right on the route of the Comrades Marathon. So it was annual event of ours.
That's
they'd
right.
always run past. So we knew everything. We would go, oh, here's a car going to sweep people up. Oh, okay, well, it's time to help someone. We'd massage their thighs if they were cramping up. We'd do posters. It was great fun. Great, great fun.
All right. There are a few things to get to here as well. We've got to talk a little bit. Paris Hilton is 40. I heard also that there was someone, she didn't make it into our obituaries, but Cloris Leachman, I mean, that's a really old person name. But Cloris Leachman was like an actress from the old days of Hollywood, and she died this year somewhere in the beginning of February. And if you look her up, you might recognize her face, Cloris Leachman. But, you know, people are. They're kind of getting old very quickly. And then some of them, like Paris Hilton, you wouldn't think she was 40, right? Right?
And I don't know why she's this... I guess I'm shocked. Let me start off by saying that I am shocked that she's now... 40, because she has been that picture of young and
wild girl.
Parting it up and eternally blonde. Now Paris is 40.
But are we being...
the same Paris who would get out of the car and she has no knickers on and we'd see her whole kichi kichi yaya out? Now she's 40.
So are you saying 40 is too old to be sexy, Sia? Because there are a lot of people already saying. Oh, you know, Ruth says that you're saying that like 40 is a bad thing. In fact, she's criticizing me for it. But no, I just can't believe that Paris Hilton, you know, she... Jesus, yeah. I mean...
I'm trying to get to the bottom of it as well. Are you getting me?
Yeah, maybe I'm an ageist.
You guys, with every passing day it happens, hey? People get older.
I know.
That's just how it is. But in your mind, Sia, she can remain forever young. She can remain the wild Paris that she always was. And it's a good thing, like, we don't see her anymore. We don't see her the way we used to see her all the time. That's probably why it's also a little bit shocking that she's grown older.
Well, that's because she's still big in Japan, excuse that. But she's, you know, now a DJ. She started her own chain of hotels herself. I think they call like Paris Resorts or something. But it's like, you also can't be talking like this and saying that's hot at 40. It's like, wait, I can't get over it. I really can't.
Do you remember those horrible songs that she made?
I kind of liked it.
What was that song of hers that she did?
Even yeah. The stars are crazy, even the stars are blind. If you show me real love, baby, I'll show you my heart.
What a shit
Were you
song.
Guys not into the Paris album? No. She gave us hits in that album.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No.
Just can I sing one more? Yeah, just because I like that as well.
What's the other song?
Nothing in the world can stop us tonight. I can do what she can do so much better. And nothing in this world can turn out the light. I'm gonna make you feel alright.
You know tonight. What? I figured something out. I've just had an epiphany. Sia is really
Sia has squandered his youth.
No, Sia is really, really good at singing like bad singers. Because he's a bad singer. So I can stomach you singing Paris Hilton because she's not so great. But if you sang like Aretha Franklin, you'd do her a huge injustice. When you sing Paris Hilton, you actually make Paris Hilton sound as good, if not a little bit better.
I'm so conflicted. Is that a compliment?
No, we figured something out. This is terrific news, Sia. There's finally a song that's not going to make us all scream and leave the room.
So you're saying the only possible duets I have is with Tyka Nelson?
Tyka Nelson and Paris Hilton. Those are the two people you should aim to do covers of. We could release those as hits. So Pums, I know you have to take Kanekho off to school, right? In between all your other duties this morning.
Everybody's going to have the full experience today because I have to go take Kanekho, but I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Like when we used to have continuity presenters.
All right.
I'll be back just after this.
All right, perfect. Aww. Because Mighty Jamie is going to join us once more. He is a lawyer, award-winning debater, and political analyst, and he will be talking about some of the issues for the week, which we've got to get into. The budget speech, there's so much other stuff that we've got to talk about. So, Annette says she couldn't. We must try and figure out what's going on with Pumi's sound. I hate these technical things. They kind of throw me a little bit, and then I'm stuck. Anyway, okay, what's on the agenda for today? Do you know what I've booked, Sia? And I'm so excited about it, and I haven't had one in a long, long time, is a massage. Whoa. We were talking about them the other day on the show, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I decided, screw that. I'm going today. I need it. Had a tense week, so I'm going to get a massage this afternoon. Very excited.
A friend of mine just had a horrible experience at getting a massage, I think like 2 weeks ago.
What happened?
She said it was this, I am generalizing. Well, okay, it's painting the picture. But it was this very short Asian woman.
Yeah.
And she looked very tiny, and you get in there and they ask you first, you know, would you like it soft, medium or hard? So she looked at this tiny little woman, they thought, just give it to me hard and that'll be fine. And she says within a few moments, she was already flipped over like a pretzel. Somehow her boobs were exposed. This woman just went in there.
Oh, wow.
Just didn't care.
Oh, God, that's terrible. No, you see, I don't want that. I'm going to have a soft, safe, very, very relaxing massage. It's not one of these deep tissue things. I don't want to walk out of there like people who've been to the physio after a sports injury. I just want a nice, gentle massage, nothing too heavy. Tato.
Have you ever had to wear those embarrassing, like, I put together or assume this is what you wear at hospital when you're going in for like an operation, that underwear.
Oh no, that's the most embarrassing thing. No, so I keep my own underwear on, and you know, like you don't need to wear, it's almost like those masks. It's the same material they make the masks out of, right?
There's just no dignity when you wear one of those.
No, I totally agree. This is so funny. So Tato has just sent a picture of, he obviously cut his hand because it's a picture of his hand with blood on it. And he says, yep, call me a Gareth in the kitchen. I'm sorry, Tato. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I know exactly what you've gone through here. What a shit thing to take place. So I'm constantly cutting my hands, and it's ridiculous. I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise. I'm not like suicidal and trying to hide it. But you know, I've had those two incidents with an Avo. I mean, how stupid am I? Every time I think that I'm moderately smart as a human being, I do something dumb like this, and then I'm like, ah, you idiot primate. And there's the two Avo incidents. There's the situation with the scalpel. There was which is such a thin, dangerous blade. Even just doing things around the house. You know how if you're in a hurry, you maybe move your hand, you grab something, and then you scratch it on something, and then you look, and you're like, wow, that's bleeding a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about these things. So dumb. So
Tato, it's not the club you want to be part of, but no. Oh, well, welcome to that club.
Yeah, Tato, I'm sorry you're in my stupid club of stupid people. What can I say? Brendan says, are you going for the happy ending? No, I'm not going for one of those massages. The only person we know who used to go for those is Damon, actually, who was on the show yesterday. He used to go for those.
I unfortunately can see it happen in my mind. Yes. Oh,
yeah, no, he used to. So I think, you know, it depends on obviously the reputation of the place that you're booking in. Mine is one of those spas where there are lots of people, and, you know, you go in and there are women getting their nails done, and there are people having, you know, different kinds of treatments, the stone massage treatment and all of that. So it's a legit place, and I'm happy to say there's nothing dodgy going on there. So, Brendan, I hate to let you down. Sergio says he's also wondering about that and wanted to ask.
Oh, come on.
This is our
what
audience.
Do these people think about us, Gareth? This we are upstanding, tax-paying, non-crime committing citizens.
I always think when someone asks questions like that, they're actually projecting. You know, psychologists will say to you what they're doing is they're saying, if it was me, I would be going for a massage with a happy ending. So that's what Sergio and Brendan maybe are trying to tell us, is that that's what they want to do.
Or they're particularly, oh damn it, was the word of the day that I just learned a few days ago. Prurient.
Yes, very nice word.
Yay!
Inga says,
sexual interest.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Inga says, I cut my finger so badly last year I ended up at the hospital, and the bandage that they did literally made my finger look like a wrapped up penis. I have a crazy story about one of those places, and one day I'll reveal all, says Rebellious Ruth. Ooh, Ruth. Richard wants to know.
Well, you can't stop that and not tell us.
Yeah, you've got to just tell us now, Ruth. There's no point buggering around. Richard says, did you guys already talk about Coca-Cola telling staff on online training to be less white? Yeah, this is a big story. So a bunch of internal memos leaked from Coca-Cola. And they've basically been telling their staff, you know, try to act less white. And then you remember when the Smithsonian said that part of white culture is being on time, working hard. And we were all disgusted by that, I think, because what they're really saying is like there are two standards and, you know, black and Asian and brown people of various kinds can't possibly live up to this. So we'll make it look like it's part of white culture so that those people don't have to be held to the same standard. And frankly, it's plain old racism. So if Coca-Cola are doing this, and it appears that this was legit stuff that leaked out of the company, I think that, you know, like we would say to a company that had done something racist, and obviously racist, we should also say, Coca-Cola, well, why should, you know, we support you if you're going to be taking part in this kind of thing. You know, I might not be able to be less white, but I can certainly drink less Coke. And I think that's what I'll do from now on. So it's Pepsi for me from now on. And in some small form, that's my response. That's my rebellion against this kind of nonsense.
So they were having these diversity training things inside the company. And the course was called Confronting Racism. And so where it all comes from is in one of the slides that was used in this presentation. It says, in the US and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white. And it goes on to talk about try to be less white with tips including be less oppressive, listen, believe, and break with white solidarity.
This is the kind of
crap. I wonder how these people inside this training were sitting and thinking.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of crap. You can imagine the consultant that was paid lots and lots of money inside Coca-Cola to put these slides together. Some fucking arts professor from a, you know, West Coast university in America. Because that's the only place this shit comes from. It's all just nonsense. Most people don't care about this stuff. They just want to get to work, do their work, get on with it, hopefully get along with the people they work with. You know, there's all this social science, and most of it is bunkum. It's complete nonsense. And it gets added to the curriculum of schools and varsities. And now it's being forced down the throats of people in corporations. And I think it's just a kind of abuse. You should just say no if people tell you to do this kind of training. Or do it, pretend you care about it, and then move on. I mean, you have... Anybody who works in any environment has all kinds of challenges with other people. It might be that you don't like the way someone dresses. It might be the way that they smell. It might be something about their work ethic. And it matters not a damn to me whether that person's white or black. I want to work with people I love working with.
It's not something that you can just ignore, because someone in HR and the diversity department will call you all into a conference room, and then they'll have a stress ball shaped in an emoji, because that's very cool. Yeah. And then they'll throw it to you, and you have to catch, and you have to talk about what's on your heart right now. So you know, you have to be part of it. And then... then in the second leg of the day, they'll bring people with drums, and they'll give you all drums,
right?
And then you all have to start making a song together, because that is how you all bond together.
Sia, you see why we put you in charge of HR at Cliff Central, not me. You understand these processes. But honestly, a lot of this is just like renaming cities. It's about just make shit up to distract people from what's really going on. That's all I can think it is. It's just such nonsense. You know, if you're at Coca-Cola, just, I don't care about any of this shit. Just make Coca-Cola. And if you're Coca-Cola, don't go make vanilla or cherry Coke, because it's horrible. And don't force your staff to have to be of one mind about something. It's none of your business what they think. There are going to be people who love each other, whether they're black, white, orange, or green. And they're going to be people who don't like each other for various reasons, including that they might be a little bit racist. You're not going to breed that out of them just because you're Coca-Cola. You guys happened upon a great recipe for a soft drink. That's all. You're not moral leaders in society. Let's keep this in perspective. I don't look to Coca-Cola to make me understand the world, and neither should anyone who works there. It's a horrible thing to do to people. Can you imagine if I said to everyone at Cliff Central, I want you all to feel the same way I feel about, you know, libertarianism. Can you imagine? Like, Jane would tell me to get fucked. That's what she would do.
Well, good point. She'd give you some poison.
Speaking of which, we'll have Jane's insult of the week tomorrow. It's going to be a good one. She has been on fire lately. So stick around for Jane and her insult of the week, which happens tomorrow. We've got The Burning Platform coming up next, which is with Pumi, and we'll be speaking to Mighty Jamie, and you are a part of that. So let's talk the budget. We'll talk about matric results. We'll talk about crime stats and all kinds of other interesting things that affect you. And some things that might not affect you as much, but that still matter and are worth a cursory glance. All of that is coming up next. CliffCentral.com.